And here's some multiplication for you. That's where we're going to jump to. So we've seen the addition, now multiplication. He says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful." And look at this. "In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says he wants to make us all prophets. He says, if these things will be in you, then you will abound. And they'll make that you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're still in John chapter 15. Go back there. Let's read that, those first six verses. Here's the process of multiplication. Here's how it works. Jesus said, all right, now if you add all those things, and then I'm going to show you how to multiply so that you're never barren or unfruitful. He says, what's the answer? What's the simple math equation there? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, I'm showing you how to multiply. He says, I'm showing you how not to be barren. I'm showing you how to do it. He says, I'm going to show you how to do it. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. All right, there he is. You got to do the math. You got to add first before you can multiply. You got to add before you can multiply. He said the same then when you get all of this knowledge, you'll be able to bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I tell you what, there are so many today that are in the church who are trying to figure out why they can't multiply, why they can't grow in their faith, is because they're trying to do it all without Christ. And you can't do it. You cannot do it. You can get great big numbers, and that's all because you gotta have Christ. He's gotta be the foundation. He has gotta be the basis. He's gotta be the solid rock on which everything depends. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And I like the picture there. He says, first they're cut off. Then they're thrown away. And then they realize, you know what? A branch can't grow without a vine. He says, and they just wither up. And once the withering process is done, he says, just any old body can pick them up then. Gather them up, cast them into the fire. Whoosh, they're gone. Where's the memory? He says, if we're gonna multiply, then we got to abide in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to ensure that we're never barren, that we're never unfruitful. All these things will bring about multiplication. You know what that's all about? It's about a building up of the kingdom of God. So, a closer walk is about addition. It's about multiplication. Unfortunately, there's also a little bit of subtraction in there if we're not careful. So now, go back to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 9 this time. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. There's your subtraction. He said, he lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In short, guys, if we don't diligently add, we'll never multiply. And we will by default experience subtraction. Spiritual subtraction is what I think God is talking about here. Not meaning that you'll lose your salvation, because I don't believe that's possible. Once you got him, you got him. But that you will have no faith in your salvation. You understand the difference? That you'll have no faith in your salvation. And I think a lot of people struggle with that today. That there's no fruit, and therefore they struggle with their salvation. You won't have the joy of the Lord in your life. That's why God says, you know what? I want to make sure that your joy might be full. You'll have doubt. You'll have doubt. And doubt is a terrible enemy and a destroyer. And God is not pleased with those who doubt his word or his power. Flip over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, page 749. I want to show you a little bit about what subtraction can look like. Now, when Peter wrote it, he says, if you lack these things, you don't add these things to your faith, then you're blind and you can't see. It's got a little spiritual blindness. And you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. You've forgotten who God is. You've forgotten what God is capable of. And in Luke chapter 1, you might remember, I'm sure you will, the account of Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest. And he was the father of John the Baptist. Now, Zacharias, he had an encounter where God sent to him Gabriel, an angel. And he sent him while he was in the temple. He was on duty. And God sent him the angel Gabriel. And the angel told him that he was going to have a child. His wife was going to have a child. And Zacharias, he was concerned about how he could do that, since he was, you know, I'm an old man, he said. And my wife is an old woman. And I think Zacharias' doubt made him blind for a little bit, because he was looking at his own situation. He had looked in the mirror and he said, fellas, this old don't do that anymore. Okay. And, you know, I'm way past raising a child and this has got to be over. Zacharias said, no, he doubted. And his doubt made him lacking. And that doubt subtracted from his faithfulness. And you'll look at beginning in verse number 11, the account of what happened with Zacharias and Gabriel. It says, and there appeared unto him, verse 11, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw it, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. It's almost like he's saying, have you seen an angel before? I don't think so. He said, here I stand. He said, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, just like those two fellows who were not in the right place, Zacharias' unbelief didn't stop God's will. He still had a plan, and it was still going to be worked through. And you and I can't get in the way of God's plan either. So look, skip all the way down to verse number 67, because what doubt can subtract and take away, belief can restore and can multiply. And that's the whole purpose of God giving us these words, I think. You know, God could have very easily just kind of whited out all of that about Zacharias and just told us the story that John the Baptist was born. They named him John, and that was a great story. But that's not at all what God did. God did for our learning, to show us what doubt can do to us, but what hope and faith and trusting God can also do for us. So when the child was born, the Bible tells us they were ready to name him. And the people thought that his name should be Zacharias. You know, it's like they're saying, for goodness sake, he's an old man. He finally had a boy. Let's name him after him. And but Elizabeth announced that his name was going to be John. And when they asked Zacharias what his name should be, the Bible tells us that Zachariah beckoned for something to write on. And Zacharias scribbled out his name will be John. Now, the Bible tells us when he scratched out that his name was to be John, when doubt went away, when blindness went away, and it was replaced with pure faith. Now, I'm telling you what, that fella had a shock and awe experience, because the Bible says his tongue was loosed. You know what I mean? That Zacharias probably had been trying to make some words for a heap of days. But the Bible says his tongue was automatically loosed. And then he began to speak about the things of God. And you know what? It's just like Zechariah says, I once was blind, but now I can see. And he began to declare the words of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 67. It says that his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied. He began to teach, guys. That's what it's all about. He began to teach. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Zechariah started at the beginning, started preaching about who God is and God's plan and how it's all being fulfilled. And it was starting out. He said, with this little bitty baby that y'all thought was supposed to be named Zacharias. He said, the oath, verse 73, that which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Look at there. Wow. We need to be very afraid of subtraction. We need to be very afraid of it. We need to be very afraid of doubt. We need to be very afraid of faithlessness. And we need to replace all of that with trust in God. Seek him and add to your faith. So we looked at addition, we looked at multiplication, we looked at subtraction. Now let's look at division. Verse 10 of 2 Peter. I'm almost done here. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I called it division because I wanted to keep going right along with my simple math here, but it really should be called no division. Because that is the assurance that God gives us. He's telling us, if you add, if you multiply, if you fear subtraction, there'll be no division. That's really what he's telling us here. He says it is an assurance that God will give us that if we will add all these things with great diligence, if we will make our calling and our election sure, then he says you will never fail. You won't ever have to worry about division. He says we need to work out our salvation so that we never fail. And that's a promise. That's a promise. I want to show you just two more little pieces of scripture. Now I'll be done there. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, page 868 in your pew Bibles. God wants us to work out our salvation, to recognize that, you know, to us he has opened the mysteries of his gospel from in the beginning God all the way through to add nothing else to this book. I'm done. Let it be closed. All the way. He says, in between, I've opened all the mysteries up to you. If you'll just seek it out. If you'll just seek it out. If you'll just work it out. You don't have to try to do anything in your own power to try to work out salvation. But you got to work out being saved. But he says, I want you to be careful to work towards getting to know me better. If he could, you know, he could pour it into our heads and into our hearts. He could send a Gabriel that could be standing at our bed and every morning and could read it to us and tell us all about it. But that's not his design. He says, I've given you the prophecy. I've given you the knowledge. Will you just go to it? Will you seek me? In Philippians 2, beginning at verse number 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, this is Paul's writing again. He says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, and to do of his good pleasure. He said that's God's desire, that we know him. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at this, holding forth the word of life. Why? Paul says, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says, you know what? If we will just hold true to the word of God, if we will just hang on to the assurance that God has given us, he says, just like Paul, we'll be able to stand before the Lord one day and rejoice because we have carried out his plan for our lives. Do you know that's what God wants? Remember over there in Ephesians, he says, what is God doing all this for? That he might one day present to himself a peculiar people, a perfect body. Perfect in that we have done what he has asked, he has told us, he has commanded us to do. So Paul isn't the only one that will be ushered into God's glory abundantly. Because of God has promised that to all of us. He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But a closer walk has to be our heart's desire. We got to want to add these things. We got to want multiplication, duplication. We got to fear subtraction. And we got to want that we will never be divided from our Savior, ever. And God will give us exactly what we desire. He will reward us according to his will and our will as we surrender our will to him. Let's close out with Matthew 7. I know y'all thought I was never going to get done. But Matthew 7, page 708. He says, we've got a desire to walk closer to him. We gotta seek him, his kingdom. We gotta. Because if we don't, you know, we run the risk, I think, of living in doubt and in fear. And that's not God's desire. He says, my desire is that your joy might be full. And it will only be full if we will surrender ourselves to him. Well, in Matthew chapter number 7, beginning at verse number 21, here's what Christ said. Matthew 7, verse number 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever doeth these sayings of mine, heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And look at this. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for that house was founded upon a rock. The question for the morning is this. Are you building your house on a rock? The solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Are you diligently, because that's what the Bible's told us to do, are you diligently working on your house day by day, brick by brick, applying yourself to the learning of God's word and then applying God's word to your life? If we are to walk closer, then we've got to walk more closely. If our desire is to walk closer, then we've got to walk more closely every day. Work more closely every day for our Father. Amen. Let's pray. Father, my heart's desire is to walk closer with you. And I pray, Father, that that might be the desire of each who's listening today. But Lord, you've given us the perfect formula for a closer walk with you. That first we must start out with faith. Faith in the work of our Savior. Faith in a work in the, of the cross. That you died there for us, Father. That you have offered to us a gift of eternal life if we would just believe in you. And then we have to add to that faith, Father. And I pray that we might have the desire to add virtue and to add knowledge, to add godliness. Lord, to add temperance, to add patience, to add brotherly love, so that our lives might be a living example of the will and the desire of God for his people. Lord, I pray that you might help us to be earnest in our walk, that we might be honest with ourselves. And Lord, where changes are necessary, I pray that we might call out to you and ask you, seek your face, Lord, to make all things right in our lives. I pray that we might be calling out to you, Lord, to just show us how to perfectly abide in you. And then to trust you, Lord, to abide in us and show us how to be more fruitful and how to carry out your will in today's world, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.